Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is Monday, August the 5th. And, you know, I always love to point out that time flies. And I'm telling you, it is flying, and August 5th, it'll be September 5th, and October 5th, and then you know what. So it's coming. The number of days, the actual number of days, is 91 before the election. And you can actually find some places where they'll bring it down to the number of days and hours and seconds and all that. But, of course, this time it's so consequential that, you know, it's probably kind of fun to do that. But we're going to get there, and it's going to be a lot sooner than you think. These things are fast. Time is flying, especially when you've lit the country on fire with enthusiasm, as Kamala has done. And it's so funny because, you know, there's so many people out there that are trying to think of all these reasons why she's not going to make it, why she's doing something wrong. She's an Indian. She's this. She, everything. But you know what? It's not working. And I will say that a very fine friend of mine today asked me to start off this evening by talking about the Kamala crash, because the stock market dropped 1,000 points today. I was going to start off with the stock market anyway, but let me make a couple of really interesting points. First of all, it's nothing to do with Joe Biden or Kamala, so that you can, you know, get all that out of your head. Although I think it's fair game for people to raise the issue, because if you're desperate, you got to look for something. And here's something. I mean, you got something. So that's good. But here's the deal. The stock market today dropped, depending on which index you look at, between 3 and 4%. Overnight, the stock market in Tokyo dropped almost 13%, 12.9%. So the first thing I would bring up to you is this. What the heck does the stock market going down in Tokyo have to do with the United States or Kamala or Joe Biden or Democrats? And the answer is nothing. Because what's going on in Japan is certainly affecting the world, yes. But does it have anything to do with our politics? Not at all. But if you're out here looking for something and you are desperate, which Donald is clearly desperate and fearful and really unsure of what to do. He doesn't even know what to do. We're going to talk about how you know that's true in a little bit. But let's go back to the stock market. The big drop in Japan certainly had a giant impact on the United States today. It did, for sure. But even that's not the whole story for sure. That's one part of what's going on in the world. So let's boil it down real simple, because I've talked about this for an easy month. First of all, for more than 500 days, there has been an inverted yield curve. And I understand that when you say inverted yield curve, people look at you like, what the heck are you talking about? Well, real simple, one more time. The short end of the curve is supposed to be low, and the high end of the curve is supposed to be high. But it's the opposite. Hang on. Guest in no video.
Yeah, they don't have their video on.
Ah, okay. Put them on and we'll talk about it. That's all right. So first of all, and I'm going to get all the way back to this, because we want to talk about the inverted yield curve and all of this. It's all important stuff. And I've got, I'm going to say Mariah, Right, Mariah? Mariah. Oh, Mariah. Mariah Partlow. And then I've got Tanaya Graham. So I've got... So are you there, Tanaya?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. And Mariah, are you there? Oh, Mariah. Hello. Okay, time is flying. Okay, so Mariah, you got to give permission to your camera and your microphone. And Tanaya, I need you on the camera too, because we want everybody to see our wonderful students from Cardinal Ritter College Prep. And of course, Mariah at that point hung up, but I'm sure she'll come back. So Tanaya, can you give us a little camera here?
Yes, I'm sorry.
There you go. Excellent. Oh, come on. Now that's what now that's the best. I'll tell you that really. And you know, at the same time, we've got Chase as well coming, Chase Harden. But I'm going to say that the best right off the bat, that's Tanaya. Tanaya Graham. Good work. Okay, so where's Mariah Partlow? She's
I'm not sure.
Well, she signed in, so you know she was here, but that's okay. She'll be here in a minute, I'm sure, and that's okay. So we're having a meeting, and this first of all, this is a meeting at let's see. She may have restarted her device. Okay, that's good, very good. So you know. I'm getting a little messages here tonight. No problem. But, yeah, so okay. Mariah, I think, is putting it back together again. Okay, so at Cardinal Ritter College Prep, where school starts on the 12th, so today's the 5th. Yes. So that's a good question for you while we're waiting for everybody. How do you do this as a teenager? How do you look at it? Like, when you've got 7 days to go, before you go back to school, does that seem like an eternity or does that seem like it's any minute? And by the way, we've got Mariah here too, so that's great. Okay, go ahead, Tanaya.
I feel it's just in any minute, like it's going by in the blink of my eye.
Okay, so it's quick. Okay, because yeah. I mean, I could see if you're a teenager, you might say a week, I'm not even thinking about that. That's like next year. What do you think, Mariah?
No, school definitely feels like it's around the corner. I would say as soon as July hit, it felt like I was already in school.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. That's I guess the main point here, because you're really two great students, which you really are. And then of course, Chase is hiding out somewhere, and you know he's probably at lunch where he doesn't belong. You know how he does that. He plays that game. Yeah, we know the Chase game. Okay, so let's do this. Let's talk here for a minute. So from the stand, and by the way, you and Tanaya, Mariah, you and Tanaya and Chase are my student advisors at Cardinal Ritter College Prep, and no other teacher has a student advisor at our school, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, they don't. And actually, I have not been able to find anybody anywhere in the country that has student advisors. So you're in a very unusual position of advising your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in my case, I take it very seriously. So that's a good thing. And here's my question. As school gets started, first of all, do you think that students are excited to come back, or are they just doing what they have to do?
I think it depends on the year they going into.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's Chase, so he's going to tell us too. Hey, Chase, we figured you were at the lunchroom where you didn't belong. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually was.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah. So you think that some students are excited about coming back if they're what, seniors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But I say
for the most part, yeah.
Okay. But maybe the sophomores and the freshmen, they're not like that happy, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the freshman's pretty excited.
Okay. Yeah, because they're going to their first year into high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's a lot. It's like, I think it's like 148.
148?
Yes.
What's 148?
148.
That's how many freshmen we have coming in.
Oh, that's a lot. Listen, our school keeps growing amazingly. Yeah. Why is that happening?
Because of, I think mostly could do the sports.
You think?
Not to be biased, but, you know.
You think it's more sports. Go ahead. What do you think?
Why would that make you biased, Chase?
Huh?
Why would that make you biased?
Well, because he plays sports.
I think when people see Carnot River, they feel like it's a good school for their child.
And they see us having fun. Like, when they post on a school page, it's always something fun. So I think
people... Balancing fun and academics.
Yeah, I was at a meeting over the summer. I had several different meetings, but one group of students, and I asked everybody, when you go to school every day, do you feel excited to be there when you get there first thing in the morning? And every student said, not really.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Honestly, no.
No?
Oh, no, I actually...
By the time I get there, I'll be like, okay, it's not that bad, but... Waking up in the morning, getting ready for school, I don't be excited.
Yeah, the waking up part, that's not.
Yeah, well, that's because you're teenagers, and I'm not even joking, because actually the research shows that biologically, the worst time ever to send you guys to school is first thing in the morning.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Because most of our morning people.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's good research on that. But there's also no choice, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. And again, this is because you're my advisors, and this is no joke. What would you do, and the three of you, you can tell me individually, what would you do to try to get people excited about coming to school?
Hello?
Yeah,
I think kicking me off.
Yeah, we got.
What's your question?
Yeah, we want to know what can you do? What can I do? You're the advisor. What can I do to get people excited about coming to school every day?
I think really just yourself, because everyone loves you, Kaysa.
Now that's not the issue. I mean, you know, somehow make me think something about you because you're saying I'm so great. That's not going to fly. What I really want to know is, you know, what can we do? What do you think? All teachers.
I feel like sometimes sometimes switching up the learning styles for some kids, because you know how some kids are more hands-on. Are some kids are more like different learners, but at the same time, certain teachers have a teaching style that they stick to, which is best for them.
Okay. Anybody agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
What do you think, Chase?
I agree with her. Because not everybody learns the same way. Like in the report that we made, I said that teachers could get advice from their students on different learning ways and methods, because not everybody learns the same way or understand just the way that they're being, because most teachers, I think they're taught to teach this subject, but they're not, and they just choose a way to teach it instead of trying to figure out how they could better accommodate each student.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so let me say this. I agree and disagree, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because there's a ton of research that shows that some of this story about how people learn differently is really not accurate. Because, well, I'll tell you why. Because first of all, you have to read, There's no getting around that. I mean, you can't get in a circle and play games and accomplish what you need to do that's coming out of a book. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everybody needs to read. And let me also tell you, I spent a lot of time this summer at Wash U, and those Washington mm-hmm. University professors are saying the same thing that all the high school teachers are saying, which is the kids don't want to read. And, right. and we talked about that last right. year, yeah, our little so group.
We've been saying this for years.
Huh?
We've been saying that kids don't want to read for a year.
Yeah, so what are we going to do about that? I mean, there is no other way. I mean, you got to read. And these college kids are the same thing. They don't want to read.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got it.
Guys, this is so hard. I mean, really. Yeah. I don't know the answer. I know we've got some students like you three who do read. And you know, I could add in like Maria and Imani and what's her name? All of a sudden, I can't think of it. It starts with a K. Anyway, but all of you read a lot, and you, as we know, you guys come to me for books, which I love. But here's the problem. That's six students, and we have like 450, and right. and we need to be reading, you know. So obviously, one more time, you all can think about, you know, what you can tell me that we might do to help some of these kids to be more involved in reading. And then also, anything that you think of that not only you think I should be considering, but that you think I should tell some of the other teachers as well. You know, think about that, you know, for getting kids enthused about coming to school.
Mm.
Because I can only tell you this, I want more than anything for the students to come to school and enjoy it. I mean, you know, the teaching part, that's all fine. I want everybody to learn, but being enthused about learning is in some ways even more important than the learning.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
because it's your willingness to learn. It's not just you just not understanding. You're actually putting in effort
right.
to want
right. to. Yep. Now, the other cool thing, which I told you I wasn't going to keep you long, so I'm going to get you off of here. But, you know, one of the cool things is that the four of us are actually mm-hmm. working on a book. And you know, we've got some really cool people at higher levels of education that are supporting this and are really excited about reading our research about what we've done and what we've found. So, you know, I'm just going to go around here one more time, each one of you. What's good about being an advisor to a teacher?
I would say probably being able to give a student input, because a lot of teachers don't really ask what students think about certain things. So I like that we're able to have a voice for the students.
Tanaya, what do you think? Hang on, Tanaya.
I agree with Mariah, because I feel like sometimes teachers need that feedback to work better with that connection with the students. So it's good to have a connection and understand what your students want or what they want to see different.
Okay. And what you think, Chase?
I think a good thing about it is that everyone can learn something from somebody else. And so the students giving them advice about it can help them be a better teacher or anything. Just helping them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, you all, I appreciate everything that you do all the time. And we got a lot of other things to do as we head into the new year. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm excited about you three for sure.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I'm excited too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a-
Well, you guys, you have a great rest of the summer, even though it's like no time at all.
Literally a week.
No time.
And on the 12th, I'll see you all.
All
right. Okay. See you, Mr. Casey.
See you later. You be good. Okay. Cardinal Ritter College Prep students. Those are student advisors who are also working with me on a book, which we'll talk about someday, but there's no reason today. So here's the deal. Let's go back to where I was, because I was absolutely talking about some economics things, really important things. And the reason I say very important is because, you know, the media, which, you know, I love the media. I love them. I trust them. They're outstanding people. They work hard. They mean well. They're doing everything they can to produce great information for the public so that people understand what's going on in the world. And that's their job. However, after 50 years in the stock market, I can tell you this, and I knew this way back 50 years ago. I knew it almost from the beginning. People who report on economics rarely have the slightest idea what they're talking about. And today is a great example of it. Because if you go out and listen to what everybody's explaining for why the Dow Jones dropped 1,000 points today, it's nonsensical. It's, first of all, it's nonsensical. Secondly, it's not true. So let's go back for a second about what is true. Because sometimes this doesn't excite people as much. I mean, everybody wants to point to what's happening in the Middle East and talk about what the election status is and talk about what the economy looks like right now. And I understand all those things. But that's not why the stock market dropped 1,000 points today on the Dow. Nor is 1,000 points as big a deal as it was 40 years ago, 37 anyway, when the stock market crashed in 1987, which was the last big stock market crash. And when I say crash, the Dow Jones that day was down 22%, which is the biggest one-day decline in the history of the United States. Turned out that wasn't the start of any kind of a downturn at all. It was actually just a hiccup, and everything turned up, and it was all fine. But here we've got something else going on. We have had an inverted yield curve for about 500 days, and that's the longest in history. And it's an important fact, and here's why. Because the short end of the curve should be the lowest, and the long end should be the highest. Well, right now, it's not that way. The long end is the highest, and the long end is the lowest, and the short end is the highest. So as a result, it puts enormous pressure on everybody because people borrow really in the short end. And I understand mortgages are on the long end, and mortgages got up at one point over 8%. Right now, they're back down around 7, but that's still high. It's not like it was in the 1980s when inflation was really out of control. I mean, people who say it's out of control now, I've shown you the charts. It's not out of control at all. In fact, I don't even know what anybody's talking about. They're all so worried about what they're paying at the store. Cut it out, guys. People who can't afford things at the store couldn't afford it last year or the year before either. And that's why people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have come up with many of these programs, which are sort of LBJ kind of programs, but more importantly, even FDR kind of programs. By the way, that's the big fight in this country right now, is people who are trying to kill FDR. That's what this is about. These are people who are only worried about one thing, that we're doing too much to help somebody. But I always love it. I always love it because I always bring this up. You know, these people who want to cut down all these agencies and stop all the old FDR things, I haven't met one who wanted to get rid of the FDIC. Not one. Wasn't one person who was willing, if their bank went out of business, to just give up all their money. Oh, no. Then they want their program. Of course they do. So really, unless you know somebody who is willing to put their money in the bank and roll the dice that the bank goes out of business and then they're out, if you find that guy, probably a guy because women are too smart, if you find that guy, I will then tell you that that person is an honest player in this system. Because, see, what they really want to do is they want to kill FDR. And when I say kill FDR, I mean, that's not an exaggeration. Go to Project 2025, and it's all about killing FDR. Wipe out the agencies one after another. And believe me, it's even a little Theodore Roosevelt in there that they want to kill. Anything that has to do with government helping people, they want to wipe it out. Because what do they want? I hate to tell you what they want. They want Vladimir Putin. How do I know that's what they want? Because, as usual, Donald tells you what he wants. So what did he say? He said that what we want to do is, first of all, Department of Education, get rid of it. All these agencies, get rid of them. NATO, terrible. But that's just the individual details. Let's go right to the heart of it, because this is the best. He congratulated Vladimir Putin for the deal that was made to get the people back to the United States, the hostages that were taken by Putin and others. And so what did he do, Donald? He congratulated Putin. Did he congratulate Joe Biden? Of course not. In fact, he said that Joe Biden was horrible because he had to give something up to get the deal. He said, that is, Donald, he said he, if he made the deal, he wouldn't give up anything. He would get the people back without giving anything up. Nothing. Of course, the media, you know, those terrible people who are always lying, they fact-checked him. And what they came up with is the fact that on four occasions during his presidency, Donald Trump got some people back to the United States, people who were being held hostage. And guess what? In each case, he gave up prisoners, our prisoners. He turned them over. He did exactly what Joe Biden did and Kamala and what anybody would do. He gave up some prisoners to get back Americans who were completely innocent, who hadn't done anything wrong. But that's what Donald did, and that's what Joe Biden did. And in fact, Joe Biden's even far more impressive, because when he was in the middle of finishing this deal off, so he knew he had the deal, at the same exact time, he was giving up his presidency in the next term. He came to the American people and he said, I'm withdrawing from the race. And he could have easily come to the American people and said, you know what? Here's why you should elect me next time, and I'm not giving up, because I'm bringing back the prisoners. I'm bringing back hostages. I've accomplished this in an amazing way, and I'm going to tell you all about it shortly, but here's what I've done. He could have done that. And really, nobody would have looked at him and said, you're a bad man. That was an acceptable thing to take credit for. But he didn't do any of that. He just understood his position. He understood the danger of Donald Trump. And he decided it was time to turn this over to Kamala Harris. And, you know, it's funny how smart Joe Biden now looks. Because look what he did. He turned it over to Kamala, and she has lit this country on fire with enthusiasm. So let's go back to this talk about a Kamala crash. First of all, it crashed in Tokyo last night, 12.9%. That's a crash. We were down 3 to 4%. That's not a crash. It's a bad day, but it's not a crash. But certainly it didn't do it here and then happen there. It did it there and then happened here. So, you know, if you're trying to find some blame somewhere, which I suggest you stop, because it's not like that. There is no blame. You could put it on Tokyo, but it certainly happened there before it happened here. Here's the thing about it. That inverted yield curve puts pressure on everybody and everything in this country. And in spite of that pressure, the markets kept going up, or at least the averages kept going up, the popular averages, because what I showed here on the air a month ago and several times since is that the average stock really wasn't going anywhere. The broadest indexes of the stock market were stuck for months, while the S&P, led by Apple and Amazon and Google and all the big names, Netflix, NVIDIA, everything, they led the way. All the money poured in there. And I said repeatedly that with this inverted yield curve and with the money pouring into all of these famous stocks, but not the average stock, that it wouldn't end well. And guess what? It's not ending well. There's a problem here. I can't tell you if this is a six-month bear market or a two-year bear market or how that will end, because that's sort of a day-by-day thing as to how this unfolds. But I will tell you that, you know, we're in a bear market of sorts, could get considerably worse. And how much effect does this have politically? I can't give you the answer. It depends on how adept Kamala is in handling this situation, because there's no question it's not her problem. She didn't, or it is her problem, but it's not something she caused. It's not Joe Biden's situation. He didn't cause it. And listen, even Donald Trump, who I would blame for everything, he didn't do it either, although he's getting destroyed personally, which is kind of a good thing. You know, that crazy thing that he calls a company, which does no business and is a complete scam, like everything that he does, it lost about $500 million today. That's good. That's good for Donald. You know, he's down from 80 to 26, so that's getting close to $8 billion. He's got a few billion left, maybe. Almost. And by September 1st, you could wipe all that out. And even if it doesn't wipe it all out, the second he files and says he's going to sell all his junk, who's going to want it? And the answer is nobody. So he's not going to get anything out of this. I mean, he might get $1 a share, which would be $100 million. And don't get me wrong, that's some serious money. That's money. But not really. You know, we could talk about it some other day. The country's going to talk about it by the time it gets down to that. But he's getting destroyed, which is where he belongs. Destroyed. Because you know what I always say. He belongs deposited on the ash heap of history. That's where he should be put. There are a lot of ways to do that. And we'll talk about that down the line as well. But the first thing that we're going to do is go get something to eat, because there's some great food out there that is unbeatable, and that's Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and the food is excellent. I like every night to tell what's there for a lot of reasons, but, you know, if you hear it, you know, it might just get you enthused to where you say, hey, you know, I think I'm going to go eat. So, you know, you think about it. First of all, the wings. People love the wings. They just do. And they're good as far as wings are concerned. I'm not a wing person, but the wings at Wendy's are great. They're excellent wings. And then, of course, they've got the smoked meat. They've got patty melts, hamburgers, cheeseburgers. Some people like that cheese. They've got salads, all great. They've got baby back ribs. I love them. I really do. They're the best from my standpoint. Then they got pizza, and they've got, of course, the onion rings. I happen to love onion rings, and they've got them at Wendy's. So get yourself to Wendy's and enjoy the great food and the great atmosphere, all put together by Ben's wife and Ben. Great people, great restaurateurs. They've done a great job, but they've done even better than I've just said, because on top of it all, they've made it so that you can go to Defiance, Missouri, in order to get the great Wendy's food. So that's $29.99, South Highway 94. Great food all the time at Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, you're not going to eat the jewelry. You're just going to wear it. And that's 4506 Hampton, and that's Jewels on Hampton. And, of course, Al and his son AJ, I saw them over the weekend. They are outstanding people. They run a great business. And you can go there, talk to them. They're very friendly. They buy and sell coins as well as jewelry. And, you know, it's sort of interesting to me, especially on the coin side. You know, there are people out here who do a lot of business in Bitcoin, which is not a jewelry store. That's a whole different world. But you got a lot of people that are buying Bitcoin all the time, and they all got pumped up again this time, and here we go again. Bitcoin's getting slaughtered. There are ways to make money in things that are getting slaughtered. I love it. You know, Joe Kennedy made the fortune for his entire family by selling short the stock market in 1929. But, you know, that's another story. But I'm just saying, don't worry about Bitcoins. Worry about getting down to 4506 Hampton and get some real jewelry, some real money that they'll pay for coins. I mean, this is a good place. Like I say, Al, AJ, great people. All you have to do is go visit them, and they'll tell you everything that you can do as far as designing jewelry. They do that. And they got cases and cases of jewelry. There's got to be something there for you if you're looking for jewelry. And finally, on the way out of that place, don't forget, take a look at your watch, make sure the time is right. And if your watch is broken, you can leave it there. They'll fix that for you too. That is Jewels on Hampton. Now, great clothing at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, on the corner of Forsyth and Central. And all you got to do is walk in there on the corner. You'll walk up the stairs. You know, if you can't make it up the stairs, you might need a knee replacement, but we're not selling those. But I will say that they've got great clothes at the St. Louis Suit Company. They have been there, I keep saying 29 years, but it's actually flipped now. It's 30. It's officially 30 years at the St. Louis Suit Company. They've got suits. They've got shirts and shoes, overcoats, real bargains. on overcoats. Now, if you wait until it gets cold, you're not going to get the bargains. Yeah, it's just like I've been talking about the stock market for a month. If it's going up and it looks like there's trouble, you know, don't wait until the last day. People do that, and then they get messed up. But if you want a deal on overcoats, this is the time. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And don't forget, when it comes to weddings, the wedding attire that they sell is perfect. It's exactly what everybody needs. The St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Okay. So let me tell you who I saw this weekend. And when I saw it, I couldn't even believe it. And this guy, his name is Byron Donalds. And, I mean, I know he's black. And that's fine. You know, everybody has a right to say their thing. And he's trying to sell Donald Trump to black people, which is so pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And I'll tell you, if you have a chance to see this, you really should. George Stephanopoulos just tore up Byron Donalds. Three times he asked the same question about things having to do with the black journalism thing. Kamala Harris got thrown into that. And believe me, Byron Donalds couldn't answer the question and didn't even try because, like I say, he couldn't answer the question because there's no way to make any sense out of what Donald did to those women, those black women at the National Association of Black Journalists. I mean, there's no explanation for it. He was rude, crude, crass, just miserable. And it was so obvious that he did it intentionally. And Byron Donalds couldn't defend it, of course not. And he wouldn't even really answer the question because I guess he just didn't want to be messed up even more by George Stephanopoulos. He thought he could just give some dumb response and then move on, but Stephanopoulos wouldn't do it. He kept coming back and he said, look, I've asked you the question. You're not answering it. Answer the question. And Byron Donalds did the same thing every single time. Absolutely refused to answer. You can find this so easily on YouTube. You know, just put in, it was the ABC George Stephanopoulos show from this weekend. I guarantee you, you'll find it. It was a really excellent job, a great example of what journalists can do and should do. Make people answer the question. It's not a matter of not liking the answer, but answer the question. Just tell what you think. Not go off on all these other areas. Really, what it amounts to, and it's so funny. I had a friend of mine on here. His name is Jacob Israel. I had him on here about 2 months ago. And, in fact, he was on here with James Ingram from the St. Louis American. And, you know, Jacob used to give an award on black radio here in St. Louis. We did black radio for years together, and he used to give out what he called the Golden Bootlicker Award. And I got to tell you, there were always black people out there that were earning their award. And I can tell you that Byron Donalds was about the best I've seen in years. And I sent an email off to Jacob asking him to get a look at it when he has a chance, because this is just ridiculous. This business of being obsequious in dealing with Trump is really so pathetic. And you know, it's just like those people, I mean, I say people, they were senators who showed up at the trial all dressed in blue suits and red ties like Donald in order to obsequiously make Donald feel good. And that's what these people are doing. They're out here, and look up the word. It's a good one. Obsequious is really good. And anyway, here was a perfect example of somebody that just really could not stop praising somebody who's just in so much trouble all over the country for what he did. His behavior, Donald's behavior at the Black Journalism affair was horrific. And if you don't think it's horrific, and if you don't think this man hates Black people, which he does, if you don't think it, let me tell you what he said over the weekend. And if you think that he didn't say it, you know, I challenge you to go look it up and find it, because he said it. And in fact, when he said it, I almost fell over. I thought, where did this one come from? So he was talking about how all these immigrants coming here are bringing with them crime, chaos, and death. And then he talked about, you know, all the terrible things that they do when they get here. And then he had another story. He told this story about how, you know, you're a Black person in Georgia, and you send your spouse out to buy some bread. And they go out to buy the bread, and they don't come home because, in the end, they're dead. They're killed because immigrants swarm these shopping centers and kill Black people who try to just go shopping. They're just normal, nice people just going shopping. And Donald was in Georgia, so he was making the point that this is what happens to people in Georgia, that they go to buy some bread, and then they're killed because of this crime, chaos, and death that is brought across the border by immigrants. But here's the one that you got to wonder where he even came up with this. I mean, how do these things even jump into his head? He said that the people who are doing this come from the Congo. Excuse me? How did the Congo get into this? Now, remember, these are people that are coming across the border. They're coming from Venezuela. They're coming from Central America. They're coming from Mexico. You know, they want to get away. A lot of violence, abductions, and difficult things down there. And so these are good people who are just trying to find a way to survive in the world. You know, sort of like the words that we know are out there on the Statue of Liberty. And the question is, when all these people are coming here trying to do the right thing, and we know, I mean, the statistics on it are so low for immigrant crime, they don't commit any crime at all, almost. Once in a while, an immigrant does something because, you know, people just do things. But if you look at the overall numbers, the least crime is committed by immigrants, and the most crime is committed by people who were born in the United States. It's just the way it is. And you can go to my website, and I see the numbers there. Those numbers are good. I'm really happy. I'm getting a lot of people who have gone to the website where I've asked you to go. And the website is talkstl.net, talkstl.net. And I hope when you go there that you're not just looking at the pictures. The pictures are okay. But I hope that you'll go to the reading room and read the article that I've got there about immigrant crime because it's extremely low. The people who come over here are just trying to find a way to survive. They're just trying to make it in the world, and it's exactly what's on the Statue of Liberty. It's exactly what our country has always been about. It's exactly what Ronald Reagan said in the clip that I ran for you. It was like a two-minute clip, and Ronald Reagan said the same thing about how, you know, people coming here, they are the ones who cause this place to grow and really make the country young and enthusiastic and exciting. I mean, these were the words of Ronald Reagan, who I don't like. But nevertheless, he said the right thing about immigration. And he really talked up essentially the Statue of Liberty. So, you know, I know there are people who say, well, that's not a law. No, it's not a law. It's an advertisement. We advertise to the world, come here and have a better life. That's what we advertise, and that's what we should be trying to help people to achieve. Sometimes it's not so easy, but we're working on it. And once Kamala is elected, and she will be, you'll see what happens. And let me say, how do I know Kamala is going to be elected? Well, I'll tell you. Every expert on elections has always said, not just now, has always said, enthusiasm is what wins elections. And I can tell you without fail, this is for sure, Kamala Harris has enthused and inspired not only the Democratic Party, but Republicans. Go read the Wall Street Journal today. They're talking about all the Republicans who are abandoning the party and joining with Kamala. They just are. I promise you, a few days down in the stock market is not going to kill the election for Kamala. I know there are people out there who are looking for anything to grab onto, but this is not it. It's not going to work. So really, figure out what your position is. Think about, you know, laws that you would like to see passed. We can debate policy. And actually, if Donald had any sense, he would. But also, he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't know anything about policy. If you don't know anything, then how can you debate it? And that's, by the way, the exact reason that Donald canceled the debate. He canceled the debate for September 10th, and he said, I'll debate you in front of a special audience at Fox News. A bunch of people out there screaming, Donald, we love you. Yeah, well, guess what? You know Kamala's not going to do it. And Trump said, if she doesn't come to see me on September 4th, she's never going to see me. Oh, gee, I'm sure she's scared. Because the polls are moving, and they're moving in the right direction. And if you think that saying some words about a down stock market, if you think that's going to do it, it's not. This woman is inspiring America. And, you know, there's just something about this inspiration that you can't stop, because people want to be excited. They want to be hopeful. Barack Obama did it very effectively. And I've said to people, and I've said it here, that as much as Barack Obama was good at this, and he was, the other person who was truly extraordinary when it came to inspiring this country was John F. Kennedy. And I really believe that you're going to see something like that, not even just Obama, but more of a Kennedy-like situation. That's just my opinion. But I will say, she is lighting the country on fire with inspiration, and That's something that's not so easy to stop. And then if you're the guy who is out here warning that the people from the Congo are coming to get you. Wow. What is that about? Except for anti-black. That's all it is. 100% anti-black. The people from the Congo are coming to get you. Where does this guy even get these ideas into his head? And you know, there are a whole lot of Republicans out here right now who are saying that they wish he would cut it out and they wish that he would get onto some kind of a policy debate, but he can't. Because as I said, he doesn't know anything. How could he do it if he doesn't know anything? And he really doesn't. So we're down to the last 5 minutes. I'd like to talk a little bit about what's happening tomorrow, which is, of course, an important primary. They're all important. It's always good to vote in a primary and in the regular election, too. And tomorrow, a bunch of people are going to vote. And here in Missouri, one of the big issues that's popped up is the support for Wesley Bell that has come from people like Josh Hawley. Now, it would be wise to ask, why in the heck would people be putting up money for Wesley Bell that are actually supporters of, say, Josh Hawley? Well, they've got their reasons, but I will tell you that others were offered this money besides Wesley Bell, and some of them have come back and said they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it no matter how much it was. They just wouldn't have anything to do with it because, you know, like Donald shows us, it's crooked. Now, it may not be illegal like what Donald does, but it is crooked, and it is happening. Tomorrow, we're going to see what the result is. I know there's some things being said about, well, about both of these candidates, to tell you the truth, but there are things that you know, talking about what's happening in North St. Louis and what kind of money has been brought into North St. Louis. And I agree that the billions of dollars that have come in, and there are billions that have come in, they didn't come in recently. They were actually brought here. First of all, four years ago, you know, it was before anybody in the Democratic Party stepped up to anything. It's NGA, and NGA is not horrible. It's a great project, but, you know, what you have to wonder is what's really being done for the people in that community and what's, on the other hand, being done to maybe create something that we talk about all the time, which is called gentrification. White people coming into the neighborhood to replace black people who have lived there for a long time. It's well worth discussing, and I've talked about it over the years. A group of us from UMSL won an award for writing about this, and we went to Germany and met with a bunch of people there where they had similar things going on having to do with gentrification. But I bring it up because I can just tell you that some of what's being said out here is not honest, and I just want to see where Wesley Bell goes with this tomorrow. And can he win? Well, anything can happen, but we'll talk about it tomorrow, and then I got some more things to say about that. But right now I'm going to get out of here because for Wendy's and the St. Louis Suit Company and Jules on Hampton, I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.